IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. We're into the second hour. A very good morning to you. 086 60 25000. Your WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call in 07491 25000. Feel free to join us and comment on social media. We are streaming on your big screen smart TV or Fire Stick or Google TV on YouTube at Highland Radio Ireland. Give us a like and a subscribe. It's useful. And then you'll know when we're live. You can take us on your mobile devices with that app, as well as on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. Hi, Greg. On the point of whether the government is engaged in misinformation on the asylum seeker issue, it's clear that they have an unwritten policy to mislead the public on this issue. For example, Leo Varadkar was presented by a journalist with a quote he made in the Dáil a few years ago, where he stated that asylum seekers are required to claim asylum in the first EU country they land in, as required by the Dublin regulation. He avoided confirming he said it despite it being published in the Dáil publication Merriam Square. Well, he didn't say that he didn't say it. He said that he couldn't remember saying it or the context of it, and he said that he would check it and then address it again. Varadkar went on to state that the Dublin regulation does not require asylum seekers to claim asylum in the first safe country they land in. This was misleading. Asylum seekers arriving from the three refugee camps in Italy, Lebanon and Turkey, as well as Ukrainians, are permitted to arrive without the Dublin regulation applying due to the government signing an international agreement. However, all other asylum seekers are required by the Dublin regulation to claim asylum in the first safe country in the EU they land in. This was agreed by all member states in 2014 and remains in force. Only last month, there was a High Court decision in Ireland under that regulation to send an asylum seeker back to Belgium. There has been no agreement between the EU states to alter the Dublin regulation. That being said, I think there is a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing at EU level in relation to our interpretation of that, because, of course, in terms of direct flights into Dublin, that would mean that we would have no refugees from quite a lot of places, if you know what I mean. And certainly you're not going to come in on a boat avoiding mainland Europe. So I think therein maybe wherein lies the confusion and the debate as it relates to that. But listen, Leo Varadkar did not deny saying it. He simply said that he'd have to check the records. Attempts to fool the population into accepting mass immigration are no longer working. The state must take action now, like Denmark, and exercise its right to output to pull out of the Lisbon Treaty on EU immigration. Is the population as a whole not accepting immigration? There has been quite a lot of objection to it in places. The numbers are, I think the most I saw was 200 or 300. It's not like, you know, we have a population of pushing on for 6 million now. And when there are protests, you know, you might see a tent with about 7 people in it. Is that the general view of the mass population? The majority of immigrants that have come into this country are in this country now. You don't hear a ton of complaints about it. Again, this is not my point of view, by the way. I'm just interested in a conversation. There is this default view that the mass, the population as a whole doesn't accept mass immigration. Is that actually the case? And as I say, I'm not stating an opinion, I'm asking a question. The International Court of Justice hearing is Thursday, 9 a.m. Please log in with every device you have. You don't have to watch the hearing, though this hearing is historic. We want 1 million of people to log on. Watch the case live on Thursday the 11th on this link, un.org/en. That's the hearing on South Africans claim against Israel of genocide. I watched a lot of sport, and the cleverest goal I ever saw was a woman in the All-Ireland Club final, Termin v Cork. People don't realise what they are missing. Women are not as fast or as strong as men, so we'll never match the level in most sports. A lower level Irish GEA men's team would slaughter the women's county team, etc. But again, I don't want to watch women play men, so I don't see the purpose of that. I mean, I watch the women's sport and I watch the men's sport. The women's boxing, just, and I'll read your comment on, but like women's boxing, I'm not a huge fan of it, right? But it's not because they're women, but I'm not a huge fan of very light men boxers either, because you're less likely to see, as horrible as this sounds, you're less likely to see shocks and knockdowns and what have you, you know. But some people like that technical 12 round. I don't mind that either, don't get me wrong, but it's not my preferred It's not my preferred sport, but it doesn't mean I compare women to men. The light fellas, I don't particularly, bar a few standouts, I don't particularly follow the straw weights and what have you, because they don't have very concussive punches, if the truth be told. So, you know, just because I prefer men's boxing over women's boxing, it's not because it's women and I don't want to see women fight men. It's just simply two different products and I prefer one to the other. But anyway, Clarissa Shields would be KO'd in the opening round by Keith Thurman, who she has challenged, etc. That's, of course she would, and her challenge was nonsense. Top men in sport are better than women in 90% of sports. The level and standards of sports are the real reason, and this was proven in US and American football. See Bill Burr. Even the women did not support their own female players. I do prefer women's international soccer to watch, and of course I love Katie Taylor, etc., but they'll never meet the power and speed of men's. It's just a biological fact again. But I think they want to stand out in their own sport rather than be competing with or compared to men. Last one, just before we take a break for the jackpot bingo numbers. My wife had a hospital appointment in Letterkenny. She went to Letterkenny without her purse. She took out a parking ticket. When she came out of the appointment, it was €3. She'd no money. She had £2.50 in change in the car, which she went to pay for. All she needed was 50 cents. She asked someone for money. They said no. Another lady started to approach her to give her the money, and her husband pulled her back so she couldn't give it to her. The third person only had a card, so they said they couldn't help. Finally, an older gentleman helped. He only had a card and he agreed to pay for it. She gave him the £2.50 that she had. I'd just like to say a massive thanks to that gentleman. You know who you are. She was in for a pregnancy scan. She's 6 months pregnant and she'd no jacket. Yesterday was a cold day. She was standing there for 10 minutes before someone came to help her. I couldn't just believe it, that no one was willing to help. She's pregnant and was out in the cold in need. I know myself that if someone even needed €10 in Letterkenny, I'd give it to them. So what do you think about that? A lady, by the sounds of the description from her husband, she's clearly pregnant, visibly pregnant. And she forgot her purse, had to pay her ticket €3. She only had £2.50. She asked for 50 cents. Someone said no. Now she's out in the cold, pregnant. Second person was going to give her money, but her husband intervened. Third person only had a card, they couldn't help, they said. And then we had an older gentleman that did help, took the £2.50, paid the €3, and the listener says, you know who you are. The person themselves wouldn't have left someone stuck like that. What do you think about that? Are we changing? Are they just, or just were they unlucky? Because we had a fantastic story yesterday of a lady whose car broke down and two fellas went above and beyond to get her up and running again. Darren says 75% of the population want immigration stopped. You know this, Greg, so please don't act like you don't. I know there was a couple of surveys. There was a survey that Virgin Media did, and that's the one that's the 75%. I'm not disputing it, but there was also another survey at the weekend that you will never hear quoted. People were asked what their priorities were, and this was a national independent survey from an actual surveying company. For people who's 50% housing, it was much less in terms of immigration. Okay, so listen, I'm not going to be browbeaten into believing the entire population is anti-immigration, no more so than any of us should be browbeaten into thinking that the majority of the population is pro-immigration. We simply don't know. You're quoting a survey, Darren. I'm just talking of another survey at the weekend. I genuinely don't know the facts. But I appreciate it. It's not something I want to get into a tete-a-tete with, because, as I say, we all have our own views and they vary. Okay, 21 minutes past 10. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Hi, Greg. My 10-year-old daughter loves sports and wants to play soccer and basketball in Letterkenny, but was told, no, we've no spaces available. How's that promoting sports for girls? Greg, you're missing the point. The standard of women's sport is not as high as men's, as your commentator stated. This is not insulting, but the fact, the reason why genders are mostly split up is because of that and not the sport itself. Thank you for your opinion. Exactly, Greg. The women doing all the work in there and the men getting the glory. Nothing ever changes. If anyone wants to come in and get the glory, you're more than welcome. How is women's sport under threat? It is more popular than ever. Plus, where are all the women's supporters and sponsors, etc.? Are they not 50% of the population? Both women and men want to see coverage of the highest standards of sport, and that is what they usually get to see, except in situations of minority sport like curling and handball, etc., they say. Another brilliant interview with the girls. As Maureen says, excellent timing for such survey results to be released. Could they be asked what their opinion is on Jennifer Hermoso and Rubiales' incident, a female listener? I'm not sure I know exactly what that is. I might have to have a quick look on that. I suspect I think it might what it might be, but I'll come back to that. Hi, Greg. You described Hamas actions on October 7th as despicable in one word. How would you describe Israel's actions since then and indeed since 1948? Well, the entire conversation was based on Israel being accused of genocide. It's an incredibly, in 2024, it's an incredibly strong accusation and one which they will struggle to defend, absolutely no doubt. What's happening in Gaza is absolutely horrendous. It's horrific. And I've spoken many times on the program about this, what they're doing to innocent people, what they're doing to children, 4,000-5,000 children wiped from the face of this planet, areas where no one lives anymore being completely and utterly flattened. So I'm pretty clear where I stand on that. Thank you, Senator. I agree wholeheartedly. The Irish government will do what the US and Europe tells them. It's pathetic. America is behind most of the world wars. If people are to find out the truth... By the way, Israel killed some of their own citizens in the October attack, not just Hamas, and also have killed many of their own hostages. This war has always been their objective. They are run by Zionists, backed by the US, with a weak Europe behind them too. It's disgusting and absolutely genocidal. The war in Ukraine and Russia is a proxy war backed by the US and NATO. Putin had wanted to sign two peace agreements twice with Ukraine before this started, but the UK made sure that didn't happen. I mean, there's other stuff going on. Like, I framed it as a quasi-proxy war right at the very, very beginning of this over 2 years ago. So I don't fully disagree with you. That being said, it is the Ukrainians that are fighting. It's the Ukrainians that are losing hundreds of thousands of people fighting that war. And they do believe that Russia is looking to wipe them out, and other countries in the eastern part of Europe as well, that Russia has an interest in. There is no doubt, though, that through Ukraine, the West is fighting Russia, a proxy war, for their own reasons and for the same reasons as well. So I think we all probably agree and disagree. These people forget that the war in Palestine started when Hamas posted videos of themselves attacking the kibbutz, urinating on naked bodies and hacking the head off another with a hoe, followed by thousands dancing and cheering in the streets of Gaza. Israel warned people to evacuate areas, but Hamas set up roadblocks to stop them leaving and so increase the number of dead to encourage surrounding countries to attack Israel. And I have a few more coming in on that that you sent me kindly yesterday, and I will get back to that. But I want to move now to welcome onto the show Kevin Bradley, the Mayor of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District. Kevin, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. You're muted there, Kevin. Sorry, if you could just unmute for us, I'd really appreciate it, and we'll be able to hear
what
you have to
say. Sorry,
no
Greg.
Problem whatsoever, Kevin. Good morning to you.
Good morning to all your listeners.
Right, okay. Now, there is a public meeting. The council is inviting the public to have its say in developing the future plans for the old courthouse in Letterkenny as a tourist attraction. So is that the option that's on the table now, Kevin? It is going to be a tourist attraction, and it's just what type of an attraction it is?
That's what's... Well, they're leaving it up to the people. They're having a public drop-in centre next Wednesday, the 17th, from 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. And they're asking the public to come in. It's an exciting time here for the public. It's a fantastic building in the heart of Letterkenny. It's good to see it and the regeneration of it. They got the money down from the URDF, and it's great to see the thing in progress. And asking people to come in with their views and visions, whether a tourist office, whether a museum, or for all different functions, to call and have their opinion on it and say what they want to say.
Yeah, and it's not just as an attraction in and of itself, but as a way of attracting more tourists into Letterkenny. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Wild Atlantic Way and what have you, but I'm sure Letterkenny, it does see its fair share of tourists. It wants to increase that share, the same as those in East Donegal. So whatever it becomes, it's to be an attraction, but to, as I say, attract more generally.
It's a unique building, Greg. It's a massive, there's a lot of history to that building, and it's an ideal place right in the heart of Letterkenny. So it would be great if people would come, would pass and would call in and get a look in and put their views on what they would want on that centre. It's a great place.
I think when most, do you have any preference? Because I think when most people go somewhere, what interests them is not the stores that they can see in their own town. It's the people and it's the history of an area. You know, I think that's how you form a connection with a place. Would you like to see sort of, you know, a historical element to this personally?
I would love to see a historical element. But from parts of Letterkenny brought back, there are a lot of history in Letterkenny. That used to be the hiring fair was always done there down through the years at that very building. There are a lot of history brought in. If we could get the thing up and going, it'd be great to see it going.
Yeah, it's really important everyone has their say too. If you have any interest in Letterkenny or this building at all, to get along, it's on Wednesday the 17th of January, and you can drop in anytime between 2 and 8 p.m.
Anytime between 2 and 8, great.
All right, Kevin, and you'd encourage people to turn out. Thanks very much indeed. That's the Mayor of Letterkenny, Milford Municipal District, Councillor Kevin Bradley. Let's get back to some of those comments, and then I do have to take a break. We were talking too about the Horizon, the post office scandal. Still haven't got a chance to watch that programme yet, but I will. We spoke to a lady who had a post office in Clady that was accused of stealing money. And was threatened with imprisonment and what have you. And the story has moved on really, really quickly because of that drama that's been put out by ITV. Greg, the company who made the Horizon system, Fujitsu, I think it was, I believe you're correct, had a full team of people who were able to access individual post office systems. What they were trying to do was to correct mistakes that Horizon was making, but if they couldn't fix it, the money was going missing. The post office denied for ages that the system could be accessed from outside. That's a good show, maybe not so good if you were affected by it. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I never realised what happened to the Clady Post Office. They were wonderful people with a fantastic wee business. I greatly missed their shop and post office. Another powerful story made me so angry and sad to watch and learn what happened to all these people. Yeah, they all thought they were the only one, only for Mr. Bates there. Greg, big shout out to all the firefighters in Buncrana Fire Station for saving five lives in the fire in Buncrana. Heroes of our community, indeed. That should never be forgotten. Just two more. Today's Holocaust is the Holocaust of Palestinians, a Holocaust perpetrated by the Israelis, supported by most rabbis, synagogues and Jews worldwide. With regard to Israel being charged with genocide, our government are afraid to upset the USA or all the rest of the country supporting these murderers because the economy is more important than tearing the limbs of children and innocent people. Powerful words, but it's not that it's not happening, you know. And in reality, the senator yesterday pretty much said that was her view as well. Now we're joined on the programme by David. Good morning to you, David. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Good morning.
Right, so you decided to buy an electric car 6 months ago. What's been your experience?
No, I had an electric car before that previously for a year, and I changed my electric car 6 months ago.
I beg your pardon. Right, so in other words, you've driven electric for a year and a half now at this stage.
Yeah.
And what has been your experience? Because you said in a phone call to us that you're thinking now of returning to hybrid.
I have to return to hybrid because if I want to do a long distance, say, from here to Galway, they're what are called 99% of the time when you go to a charger, the charger's either broke or somebody has unplugged it the wrong way and left a left a lead in it. It's just, I can't understand why these petrol stations and the restaurants, especially a petrol station with a restaurant, doesn't have chargers in it. I don't know, do they get grants from the government for putting in chargers or not? I would presume they do.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've been driving electric for quite some time now, so you've had a proper time to assess it. You've no issue with the technology, how the car drives and all that. It's simply the fact that if
I absolutely love my car. I got a new car from DMG Motors in Donegal Town. Great place to deal with. Great backup. Everything was hunky-dory. The car is lovely. But it's just, if I have an emergency where I have to go somewhere, I can't guarantee it I'm going to get there because, like, when I charge my car up, I get 344 kilometres in it. And that's as far as I can drive without getting charged again.
And do you get the 344 kilometres that it says, David?
Yes, not really, no. You would get maybe 300 kilometres.
Right, okay, still not bad.
No, that's in the Enyaq.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a new one coming out now from the same company, and they have a hybrid which does 100 kilometres on a charge, and then you go on to petrol then.
Yeah, now, so the car is grand, the experience was grand, charging at home is fine. It's the uncertainty about finding chargers working out and about, which is, we're supposed to be, you remember they said we were all switching to electric by 2030, and every other 6 months they announced that they're investing another 5 million in chargers, another 10 million in chargers, and the last time they did it, was a bit cynical, because yours is the reality here. They keep talking about providing the infrastructure, but it's not coming, David.
It's not a joke when you go out for a run and you're sitting on pins and needles, thinking, are you going to get back home again?
And that's what it's like. What I mean? So the next thing, you've got the aircon off and you're driving slower.
Well, if you have to drive, like, if you have bad weather, like we had there 3-4 weeks ago, where you're driving in the rain and you have the heater on and everything's on, your lights and everything else, like you're going through your charger a lot quicker. Like, I can't see why they don't put them into a petrol station. A petrol station gets so much in every litre of petrol it sells. Why not do the same? I wouldn't mind paying an extra €5 to get my car charged to give it to the petrol station, because they've got the charger in. That wouldn't be a problem, as long as I know I can go somewhere and the thing's working.
And how often are they not available versus they're not working?
There are a whole lot of times they're not available. There are people plugs into them and they go way down the town, and maybe the car's sitting charged.
Yeah.
And you can't get into it. You know what I mean? If you go to Redcastle Hotel, there's three sitting in the main street. That's encouraging the golfers to come, because they can go out and play a game of golf, plug their car in, and away they go then. Mm. Or they can go in for a meal. I was in a restaurant there last week, sitting in the restaurant looking out, petrol pumps empty, but no chargers in the forecourt or anywhere where I could have stuck my car on for an hour while I was on having a meal.
And in this day and age too, obviously, you know, beggars can't be choosers, but you want the modern fast chargers as well, that you can get 80% into your car in, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. That's what we need.
If a restaurant looked at it, like, I'm sure if you put it on there, you seem to get things done. If you put it on there to restaurants to get chargers in, if they looked at it, I'm coming down the road and I know there's a charger in that restaurant, that's where I'm going to go to have a meal and charge my car.
Yeah.
The restaurant's 1-1. It's getting a meal for me and my family and getting the car charged.
How do you know where, say you're going up and down from Sligo, do you know where all the chargers are at this
point? Sat-nav. You have to put it on the sat-nav just.
Okay. Because Lidl and Aldi, and then, some like, of those Lidl and Aldi's happen as well. Go ahead.
So, as I say to you, you can put it on sat-nav, and I have a charger of maybe 50 miles up the road.
Mm.
And when I get there, it's not working. Where if they're in a petrol station or a near a restaurant or even a hotel, where you can pull into the hotel and get a charge, you know the people in the hotel, the restaurants and the petrol station, they're going to look after their chargers.
Yeah, I got you.
You know.
So, listen, you're a year and a half into electric car ownership, 6 months into your latest model. You love the car, you love the service, you love how it drives, but because of the lack of infrastructure, you feel you've no choice to go to hybrid. Do you feel let down? Because we're all encouraged to go electric.
I've done everything. I've got a charger at the house. I've got solar panels on the roof. I went down the road of doing everything to try and make this world a better world.
Yeah.
And, it seems as if they're just turning you back the ways again.
Are you going to hold out, or have you made your mind up?
Well, I'm going to wait till I get I've talked to DMG Motors, and I'm waiting on this new car to come in to see what she's like. And, if things doesn't improve, that's the only road I can go.
And, look, we spoke to...
I had emergency, I had to go to Galway Hospital.
Yeah.
I can't be sitting halfway up the road and not before I go, you know.
I know. We have spoken. It's not just people that buy the cars, David. We have spoken to people that sell cars in the past that are equally frustrated because people, yeah. the gentleman said people are coming back with their cars after a few months. They love their cars, but they can't trust the public charging infrastructure, and they get the range anxiety and the reasons that you've been outlining as well.
I went to Sligo and one day there, and I was on the way back home again, and only I could call into DMG Motors and charge in their charger.
Mm-hmm.
I would have bother getting home. And like the people in there, they're so good. There's a one salesman in there, Will, he couldn't do enough for his customers.
Well, I hope, David, and I know it's a serious issue, after the plug you've given DMG Motors, I hope they knock a grand off your next one.
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care if they did, because
I know.
DMG Motors are so good.
Okay, right. Listen, thanks very much, David. Keep us updated as to how your electric journey goes, because as I say, you love the car. It's just the fact that you're let down by the infrastructure.
Maybe you could go to somebody you know in the government to see if there is a grant for these people to put on these
charges.
Yeah,
we'll make inquiries.
Could you let us know on air, and let them know on air that there's a grant there and they're going to make so much money of a charger?
No problem. We can certainly look into that. But as I say, I've just been let down and frustrated by announcements of this fantastic network of chargers.
I think you had an electric car yourself.
I had a Nissan Leaf for my motors. Loved the car. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was early days, and the range wasn't huge, but ever since, I felt like I went backwards, if you know what I mean, David. It's a lovely way to drive, and
it is.
I'll tell you what I still do, if this is God's honest truth. If I'm driving down a hill, say I'm coming down Lurgie Brack, David, I still, you know, with the braking, the way the braking recharges the battery.
Regeneration.
Yeah, now in the car that I'm in at the moment, I feel like I'm wasting that energy, if that makes sense, because it's not electric, it's a petrol or diesel. And you feel going down hills now, I still feel that I'm wasting that regeneration electricity. So, listen, I love electric cars. I really do. I'd love to own one myself. Happy motoring, David.
And I listen to the radio to see what you say about government.
I'll not let you down. Slán, Margine White, thank you very much indeed, David. 086 60 25,000. I'm in Inishowen, and one evening I had a slow puncture, and I went to four local filler stations. Out of four stations, only one had working air, so I'm not sure this idea would work. I'm a fan, and maybe I'm not sure if tyre experts or those that sell tyres are into this, but those little canisters that you get that temporary fill your tyre, partially fill your tyre at least, so you can drive home, I would be inclined not to drive without one of them. They've saved me a couple of times. You know, you screw it onto the valve, you hit the button, and it pumps a certain amount of air into your tyre, and it fills it with a liquid that tends to block the puncture, if it's not too bad. I find them very useful. I'd say garages hate them when you land and they take the tyre off and it spills everywhere. Or maybe they don't. Very short-sighted of garages not to jump on the electric car bandwagon, as in the near future there'll be no petrol or diesel for them to provide. Some people agree, some people disagree on that one. But yeah, how much does it cost to charge the car? David is gone now. We can check with David. I know someone with an electric car, and I think it costs about... It was costing about 22 or 23 euro. But the prices have gone up and down since then, so I'm not really quite sure. I think really in terms of it being about saving money, the days where you would go electric because it's cheaper or much, much cheaper, I'm not really quite sure that's the... I mean, you'll save money on the servicing and what have you. I'm not sure there's a huge difference now between... driving on electric versus petrol or diesel. But anyway, open to correction. Let's have that conversation. People need to be aware the price of replacement batteries for electric cars, they're astronomical. It's not just going to the garage for a few minutes to get diesel or petrol and off you go, or to get serviced and parts replaced. It's prices of nearly a new car. I've seen these posts on social media, but I, like you... for instance, you can get huge, you can get big mileage and lots of years on batteries as well. And also, I've seen electric cars that are 7 or 8 years old or 6 or 7 years old, and it shows you the battery capacity. It's still up on 100%. But I do also see a lot on social media whereby they say your batteries are no good after 2 or 3 years and cost €1 million to replace. There is an anti... they are expensive to replace, don't get me wrong, but the claims on social media how soon you have to get them replaced are a long way off, I would suggest. The charge will drain heavily during the bad weather, or as in the US, won't go at all in heavy snow. Plus, the most wary part of me would be the radiation EMF from the car while in the car or charging from your home. So much to be aware of before buying. I drove an electric car as well. There was a slight change in performance in very cold weather, but I was still able to do the back and forth that I used to do. And I drove the car for 2 years, I believe, and there was no reduction in and this was early on, this is going back a bit, there was no reduction actually in the capacity of the battery or its drain as it relates to EMF. My house is full of 5G. I've got a 5G phone in my front right pocket right next to the you-know-what, so I don't know. I wouldn't be too worried about that side of it, but that's just me. It's up to you what you think. Okay, back with more after these. Kevin joins me on the program now. Hiya, Kevin.
Good morning, Greg. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, Kevin. Unfortunately, though, you suffer from shingles. So what is shingles?
Well, shingles is the nerve endings coming to the skin, and you'd nearly think that somebody had stuck about 500 electric probes around that area that's affected, and they're hitting you with about 150 volts continuously all day, every day, to the go away. Wow. Now, that's 4 years ago. I was in the hospital when I contracted shingles in the HDU department, and I went from the middle of my chest right round to the middle of my back, and I got sorted in the hospital. I had to go to Galway, an angiogram. So there was a whole setup there because they're contagious as well for a certain period of time. So that was all sorted. But I got home, and the pain is unreal. Unbelievable pain. I thought, God, is it ever going to stop? So I was down with my doctor. Doctor prescribed patches, lidocaine patches.
Now, these are for extreme acute pain, these patches, aren't they?
Acute pain on the skin, like they're like all other patches that secrete the lidocaine into the skin, mm-hmm. right? But you do get some relief from the shingles. Now, this went on for a period of about 6-7 months. And I was using 5 patches a day. Now, the boxes come in a box of 5, and they're between £20 and £30 a box.
Wow.
Right? So over the period of the 6 months, they're somewhere in the region between €2,500 and €3,500 spent on the treatment of the shingles for me. Right? I'm talking just for me. In between times, I would be getting like a morphine tablet as well, a week's in between, just to try and get things passed over. So that was four years ago. Now, I'm still affected with the shingles.
Yeah.
4 years down the line.
Yeah.
And I had a guy on the phone, Cures, 5 times I rang him. And at the heel of the hunt, he said to me, he says, look, he says, Kevin, you have a very bad dose of them. He says, because you should have been cured.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking, I seen the shingles vaccine coming up. And I thought, oh, great, I'll go to the doctor and find out about this, because there's no saying that the shingles won't come back on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, we'll go and get the vaccine sorted. So I went down to the doctor, said to him, oh, by the way, shingles vaccine. Oh, he said, that's a private script. I said, right. So I went down to the chemist, put on the script, and she came out to me and said, no, Kevin, that's very expensive. You have to get two injections over a period of 6 weeks or whatever in between the first one, and then the other one, then 6 or 8 weeks down the road. €200 an injection. Mm. Right? That's €400. Oh my God. And they're free in the north.
Well, but, just to clarify, can I just clarify the costs, if that's okay? In Britain and Northern Ireland, and this came in from the 1st of December 2023, healthy people aged 70 to 79 can get a vaccine. People aged 50 and over with weakened immune system, they get the free vaccine. Healthy people 60 to 70 will become eligible for the vaccine over the next 5 years when they turn 65 or 70. And you are eligible for the vaccine after your 80th birthday. They say this is because it can occur in any age, but it's primarily in those age brackets. So it is free, but under the regulation since September 1st, 2023, it's for those age cohorts in the UK. In Ireland, they say a shingles vaccine is available on the market, but it's not given routinely in Ireland. The vaccine is not available through the medical card or the drug payment scheme. Go and see your GP, get the script as you did, but you're facing a bill of €400. It's crazy that someone in Lifford cannot avail of this and suffer what you did, and someone in Strabane can get the vaccine if they're of the right age or if they've a weakened immune system. It's crazy, isn't it?
It is, but go back to what I said about the cost to treat my shingles. Somewhere between €2,500 and €3,500.
Yeah.
Whereas, can the HSE not see that prevention is a lot cheaper than treating it?
Yeah, for sure.
The treatment, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, I have a medical card, thank God, but the pain and what it does to you mentally, physically, and every other way, can you imagine just being hooked up to a machine that's hitting you with about 150 volts all around that whole area.
I can't imagine.
Wherever you're affected now, that's unbelievable. I still get, every night, I get a few jags, and it's either under and around the armpit, around the back, or at the front of the chest. And that's 4 years down the road. So it's been a long, slow process. I don't need patches anymore, but I kind of thought, wow, there's something badly wrong with the system in this country when they can't figure out, look, see, people of my age, which is the age cohort that you mentioned there, are very, very susceptible to getting shingles out of the blue. No reason at all.
Yeah, and they did a big publicity on it. Can I just say one thing to back up your claims about prevention being better than cure, if you don't mind, Kevin? Just some statistics. In the first 5 years of the vaccine program in Britain, there were 40,500 fewer GP consultations for shingles-related diseases, 1,840 fewer hospitalizations. Now, that doesn't talk to the vaccine uptake. So obviously not everyone's taken the vaccine, but of those that did, it led to 50,000, 10,000 a year less people attending the GP. So if the Irish government or the HSE needs any evidence that prevention is better than cure, at least financially, God knows, not just for the pain that you went through, there's the evidence right next door to us. The evidence is there that a vaccination program greatly reduces the amount of people that need to see a GP for shingles.
Yes. We have the vaccine for the flu, the vaccine for pneumonia, we have the vaccine for COVID. We should be getting the vaccine for shingles. Now, I have a lot of wee things, medical things that are leaving me very kind of open to all sorts of different things. But I'll go for the vaccine for everything that I could and know is going to help me. And the fear of these shingles coming back, now I'm going to have to buy this vaccine, right? But I just can't afford it at the moment.
That's terrible.
I know,
the amount of comfort, if you could get that vaccine, Kevin, that anxiety of a return of shingles, because you put in an awful time of it. If you could get that vaccine for free, or hopefully you can get the money together to get it. That would make your life much better with everything else that you're dealing with. If you didn't have to worry as much about the risk of that returning, you would have a more productive, happier life, I presume, with every other with the other challenges, sorry, that you say you're facing.
Yeah, I would. It would be one thing less off the list. Pick it and get rid of it, put it away, stick it in the corner, and that's it, gone.
Right.
You know? But it's something I do believe that we in this country, from the top, either HSE, government, whatever, is getting things all wrong. Prevention. The next time, please God, I'm touching wood here, that I don't get shingles. But the first thing I'm going for is lidocaine patches. And I don't care whether I walk out of the chemist with £1,000 worth of them under my arm, going out the door, I will be slapping them on me.
All right, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it was the only thing, it was the only thing that gave me any kind of relief. Now, there's a whole lot of other people out there that have had shingles and suffer from, and they know exactly what I'm saying.
Yep. Acute pain. Kevin, listen, hopefully you're listened to. I appreciate your time today. Thank you so very much indeed. Colette says, Greg, relating to Kevin with shingles, the vaccine will not prevent getting them. It may only ease symptoms. Here in Northern Ireland, you have to get two doses, with a six-month span. I'm not disputing what you're saying, but according to the NHS, they say by having the vaccination, you will significantly reduce your chance of developing shingles. So I'm not contradicting you, Colette. I'm just saying what the NHS in England are saying. But they also do agree with you that if you do go on to develop shingles, the symptoms are likely to be milder and the illness shorter than if you did not have the vaccination. And in terms of how the vaccine is given, it's given as there are two different vaccines available. You'll be offered the vaccine that is right for you. Shingrix is a non-live vaccine and you will need two doses to give you the best longer-lasting protection. For most people, the second dose of Shingrix will be offered about 6 months after the first dose. There are others ones too. But listen, so we're not far off the same page.